This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1989. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, 1989, recorded July 4th, Austria, China, Cook Islands, Cuba, Denmark, Guatemala, India, Iran, Korea South, Mexico, Nigeria, North America, Norway, Romania, Russia, Solomon Islands, USA, unidentified, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer, via Manuel Mendez, Radio Joystick reminds us of their monthly broadcast of the Charlie Prince Show, Sunday, July 7th at 10 UT, like the first Sunday of every month, via Austria, 100 kilowatts on 7330. More about this at radiojoystick.de. I don't often mention this, but why not an example of Chinese communist jamming? We find the CNR1 program, the number one program from China, being used as a jammer on many out-of-band frequencies, as well as some in-band frequencies. Most of these, if not all, can be found listed in the IB reference or the Aoki NDXC frequency reference. But there's never the same combination of frequencies active from one day to the next. I suppose Sound of Hope itself, the target which we hardly ever hear, is always changing frequencies, and they have dozens and dozens, scores and scores of different known frequencies, mostly from low-power transmitters on Taiwan. Well, June 28th, toward the middle of the 12 UT hour, I was hearing these jammers on these frequencies. 11460, 11150, 11100. That had a heterodyne that may have actually been a sign of Sound of Hope. 12190. 13160 was the strongest at this time. There was something on 13550, a carrier, but it might have been something else. 13870, 14700. I keep hearing a carrier there, but not sure that's what this is. 14850, 14980, and 15920. I scanned the entire range from 10 to 16 megahertz, and these were the only way out-of-band ones that I found. More about the situation at Radio Cook Islands concerning their only medium-wave frequency, 630 kilohertz. This came from Chris Rogers of the ARDXC via Gary DeBach on the IRCA list. He says, this is a visit to the Radio Cook Islands medium-wave transmitter site. There's been a lot of news lately on the Internet about the impending closure of RCI medium-wave service on 630 kilohertz, which will be replaced by an FM service on the main island on 101 megahertz. Whilst on a de-expedition earlier in June in Rarotonga, my longtime de-exing partner and friend Dave Headland decided to visit the medium-wave transmitter site located at Matavera, about 5 kilometers from the main town of Avarua on the island of Avarua. After a phone call to Blue Sky Telecommunications, who look after the technical side of the government-run Radio Cook Islands, a technician met us at the transmitter building and showed us through a rather run-down concrete building, which had boarded up windows and had not seen any maintenance for a long time. What we discovered inside was a very modern Nautel XR3 transmitter running at 2.3 kilowatts, and there was also the remains of a gutted older Nautel AmpFET 5-kilowatt transmitter. Monitoring of the signal over there by us observed second, third, and also fourth harmonics of the main signal frequency. So it was obvious there are technical issues with the existing equipment that haven't been addressed for some time. Inspection of the 105-meter medium-wave radio mast that was a gift from the New Zealand government many years ago also indicated extremely dangerous corrosion at the triangular base of the mast, with rust almost 50% of the way through the structure, causing the evacuation and relocation of the students of the school where the mast towers over. Apparently the last maintenance of the mast was in early 1990, and the salt air has clearly taken its toll. There is a delay in the closure of the medium wave service and removal of the mast as Blue Sky Telecoms and contractors try and work out how to remove the mast safely, as there are no riggers on the island nor large cranes. When we first arrived in Rarotonga, Radio Cook Islands had an FM service on 88.8 MHz right around the island, located at three transmitter sites, strategically placed not to interfere with each other. During the week, the frequency was changed to 101 MHz, probably to avoid interference and confusion to listeners, as there are many other low-powered stations in the 88 MHz area. The 101 MHz frequency allocation is interesting, because a vast majority of cars on the island are Japanese gray imports that have Japanese radios installed, which only cover the Japanese FM band up to 95 MHz, and that will obviously impact listening to Radio Cook Islands once 6:30 leaves the air. Whilst monitoring Radio Cook Islands after the frequency change, on-air announcements were heard advising the medium wave service will be closing in a week or two, advising listeners to tune to 101 MHz. No mention of FM frequencies for the other 14 islands in the group, whose residents will undoubtedly suffer the most from the loss of reception when the medium wave service is closed. Unfortunately for medium wave DXers, another Pacific medium wave service is closing and will surely be part of medium wave history, says Chris Rogers. And even more about this from the Radio Cook Islands website as of June 11th via New Zealand DX Times. A media release by CIIC says the rollout of FM and the ability to live stream events of national importance make the mast no longer a requirement, and alternative avenues of broadcasting are now in place. Wear and tear over the years has resulted in some corrosion as a result of sea spray around 20 meters above sea level in parts of the midsection of the tower. However, the top and bottom sections of the mast are in good condition. Something's always wrong at Radio Vancouver. Last week I mentioned that RHC programming and the China Relay were both on 6,000 kHz, causing severe interference to each other. Now Wolfgang Büschel in BCDX says there was a similar co-channel audio feed of Havana's English and Spanish programs heard June 30th at 0427, 4 Hz below 6,000 kHz, as Arnie Coro was starting DXers Unlimited. But RHC Spanish programming was mixed in parallel to other frequencies like 5040. Furthermore, 5700, or 4 Hz above there, normally a Spanish number station frequency, was carrying Radio Vancouver in Spanish at 0440. Furthermore, June 30th, between 04 and 05, 9790, the China relay frequency, had that, but as well mixed in audio from Spanish Radio Vancouver. More about the low-power Denmark shortwave station World Music Radio and their higher frequency 15805 we've been wondering about. Proprietor Stig Hartvig Nielsen told the WRTHFB, which came to us via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, transmissions on 15805 have suffered some problems, but as of then we're back on the air. As of June 29th, 200 watts into a half-wave dipole. He was going to continue that until 1600 UT on Sunday, and it's operating only on weekends. Checking remote receivers, he reported at 10:30 UT Saturday, it was audible in many parts of Europe, and even on the east coast of North America, although he does not say exactly where. He says the modulation on 15805 is not perfect, not good in lower or upper sideband, but fair in wide AM. However, at 12:30 UT, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria said he was getting zero signal, while Mauno Ritola in Finland at 12:40 was getting a fair signal on 15805. Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid of Radio Verdad, or Truth in Guatemala, 4055, has not said anything for some months about the supposed worldwide shortwave relays on the same frequency. However, he does say we have finally won in getting our webcast going, and I checked it myself and was able to hear it. Here's the URL, www.mixlr.com/radio-verdad-internacional, all in lowercase. As I recall, MixLR also was supposedly involved in their shortwave relay deal. Joe's Jacob tells DX India that the 100-kilowatt transmitter of All India Radio Mumbai is back on 7340 from July 2nd after being off the air for a few weeks due to antenna problems. It's on the air in Urdu at midnight 25 to 0430 and 830 to 1130, then another 10 minutes of home service, also 1230 to 15 in Sindhi and 15 to 16 in Baluchi, plus the external service in English, 11935 at 1745 to 1945 from that same transmitter. The Ahatsjurg Biner, a notice from the BBC Media Center, headlined Iran's harassment of BBC women journalists highlighted at UN Human Rights Council. Representatives of BBC's Persian service on 28 June addressed the HRC 41st session, highlighting the systematic targeting of women journalists. The session was in Geneva, focusing on gender discrimination and violence against women. The Iranian authorities have been systematically targeting BBC Persian journalists who are mainly based in London and their families in Iran since the service launched satellite television in 2009. In Medium Wave Echo, June 28th of the Arctic Radio Club, Mauno Ritola and Bent Erickson report, a new station run by the South Korean Intelligence Service, NIS, is broadcasting 24 hours to North Korea on 756 kilohertz. It's information from South Korea between 11 and 19 UT and Korean pop music between 19 and 11. There is no ID mentioned, but 756 AM is the nickname. A remote receiver in Seoul allowed him to hear the station with Korean pop music at 21 UT. More about it in the update online for the World Radio TV Handbook. Now to non-clandestine South Korean broadcasting, Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight says, I received a message from KBS informing of a test period for 3 weeks, starting on July 8th. Broadcast in English towards India at 18 to 21 UT on 9785. We'll move back to the previous time of 14 to 17, with power increased from 100 to 250 kilowatts. Also, all transmissions on 11810 to Europe and South America, and on 15575 for North and South America will change from 100 kilowatts back to 250. Apparently these were on lower power starting from the end of last August due to antenna problem. Since different antennas are involved, it might have been trouble with antenna switching rather than a fault with the 250 kilowatt unit, he says. Maybe we can expect a few dB increase in signal strength if they get through to North America and Europe in the summer. For such a technically advanced country as Korea, KBS frequency planning and scheduling according to propagation conditions is woefully inadequate. They're requesting reception reports during the test period. That, of course, would apply to the so-called North American service on 15575 between 13 and 15 UT, 1 hour in English and another hour in Korean. I often tune across there and at best hear a barely audible carrier. June 30th at 0327, I found no signal from XEPPM Mexico City on 6185, as Manuel Menith in Spain had also been noting it missing for a few nights, causing concern that Mexico's last shortwave station could be gone forever. However, Manuel was hearing it again as of July 3rd until sign-off at 0508 after about a week out of air. Ron Howard in California was also hearing it on that occasion. They left the carrier on, as they often do, past 0520, and he refers to a WRTHFB item from Luis Alejandro Vallebueno, which said that Radio Educación 6185 was reactivated July 2nd at 18 UT with 1 sesquikilowatt, according to info from Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla and Pilar Cruz. Steve Luce in Houston, Texas, also notes XEPPM with a decent signal, much better than normal modulation, checked just after 04 UT, July 3rd. So it lives on for now. He's only 760 miles away. Meanwhile, there's been a lot of press from Mexico via the GRA blog and Ramey Humbert, WTFDA, among others, about severe budget cuts at IMER, Instituto Mexicano de la Radio. That's a separate organization from radio education, but it does run stations such as XERF 1570 and the once shortwave station Radio Mexico International, which has continued as a webcaster only. There's some doubt whether these stations will be able to continue, and people are concerned about losing their jobs. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 1989. a non-commercial program, accompanied by our non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and publication DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Steve McGreevy in California, who since last I mentioned him has sent 3 contributions via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Voice of Nigeria surprised us by showing up on a new, well, almost new frequency, first reported June 28th at 1812 to 1905 by José Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil during their English broadcast, 11770. It's not listed in any of the references. However, I recall that it was an active frequency several years ago. Actually, this one, like the others, is offset to the low side by about 100 Hz. 11769.9 is then widely reported. Also for the morning broadcast at 06 UT in Hausa instead of 7255 minus. So says Ivo Ivanov, and they were still going past 1100 according to Mauno Ritola. Dave Kenny says it went off at 11:02, June 29th. During most of the day, there's possible interference co-channel from East Turkestan. However, I did not note any problem from that here. July 2nd at 16:50, Nigeria surprisingly good in English, up to 10:09, discussing tourism in Africa, and no interference from PBS Xinjiang, which is scheduled all the way from 23 until 18 UT. I measured Nigeria on 11769.902. It seems this had replaced all their other frequencies until July 3rd when Ivo Ivanov found them back on 7254.9 for the Hausa broadcast at 0600. However, he says it was weak. We used to hear that with a very strong signal. The Antichrist Pirate, somewhere in western North America, station YHWH, continues to be heard almost every night, usually on 7470. Various hours between 03 and 05 UT. While Samaniv in BC was hearing it on June 28th at 03:40 and still going past 05:04, but it went off finally at 05:23, later than usual, playing its usual theme song, Days of Hard Life. Reception quality varies widely, and it does not seem to be entirely due to propagation. On July 3rd, he was heard until signing off at 03:54 UT by Walt Salmaniv in BC, Ron Howard in California, and Dan Robinson in DC. Terry Colgan in Texas has news about Radio Northern Star, Bergen, Norway. An email from Sven Martinsen, broadcasting coordinator, announces that Radio Northern Star may soon be a DX target on 19 meters in the autumn. And he says we bought a new 1611 transmitter of 2 kilowatts on the air in the autumn, but no technical details yet. They have been broadcasting with 50 watts on 5895 and medium wave 1611 with 70 watts, making them great DX targets from just about anywhere. Paul Geiger in Austria tells the British DX Club that Radio Romania International has now printed its QSL cards for 2019, as they announced on their German mailbag program June 30th. And you can see all these designs on their website, www.rri.ro. They all seem to deal with different folk dress designs for women. Holgager also has news of RRI's annual contest for listeners. It's about Iași, the historical capital of Romania. You have to answer correctly a bunch of questions heard on their broadcasts and available on their website, deadline August 31st. The grand prize, an 8-day or 7-night trip, full board over October 10th to 17th, sponsored by the Majestic Hotel in Iași. The catch is that you have to pay your own way to and from Romania. The well-known DXer in St. Petersburg, Russia, Mikhail Timofeyev, has died, and there have been many tributes to him in the latest issue of Rus DX. He died on June 26th of a stroke. He was born in 1962. You can read much of this in translation in the next DX Listening Digest, number 19-27, when published via worldofradio.com. Besides its night frequency of 5020, Solomon Islands has now reactivated its day frequency, 9545. Ron out in California says, for a long time I've been routinely checking that frequency between 0430 and 0500. As it was several years ago, I often heard them until sign-off at 0500, but not heard for a long time. So it was a very nice surprise on June 28th to tune in and hear some definite audio and a signal very slowly improving. I'm fairly certain it was SIBC. Since then, at least by remote receivers, Wolfgang Büschel and others, I've been hearing it, and I've also been getting the carrier and a bit of audio. It seems to be offset very slightly to the low side of 9545. I timed the carrier cutting off 23 seconds past 0459 on June 30th. Ron Howard says it seems it goes off the air via a timer. On June 28th, 29th, and 30th, they suddenly went off at 0459. Programming is mostly pop songs. I found in the past best reception of SIBC on 9545 was when they ran well past their normal cutoff around 0500, which does happen from time to time, such as when they're is especially bad weather and they're providing info on 9545. Via Dan Robinson, a press release from the U.S. Justice Department, an Alexandria, Virginia man pleaded guilty June 27th to stealing over $40,000 in government money during 2018 while he was employed as a senior government official at the U.S. Agency for Global Media in Washington. Harun K. Ullah, U-L-L-A-H, 41, admitted he fraudulently obtained thousands of dollars in government funds by submitting falsified hotel invoices, falsified and inflated taxi and Uber receipts, and by billing the government for personal travel and travel that had already been paid for by third parties. And there's a lot more detail. This, of course, led to a commentary at BBG Watch. The DOJ press release paints a picture of mismanagement, corruption, and lack of oversight within the senior levels of the $800 million U.S. AGM, which is responsible for taxpayer-funded media like VOA and RFERL. The current management team is assembled by CEO John F. Lansing, who has been in charge of the agency since 2015. World of Radio Monitoring, it seems our new broadcast on 15770 from WRMI, Saturday at 2030 UT, lasted only 2 weeks. As of June 29th, we had been replaced at that time by WaveScan. As shown on the schedule now, and I also see another change, Monday at 0130 UT, 7780 has been added for World of Radio, and although the schedule had erased 9395 at that time, we were still actually heard there on July 1st. And 7780 also carries World of Radio 1 hour later at 0230 UT Mondays. WBCQ has continued testing its superpower transmitter at or almost 500 kilowatts, mostly during the local late afternoons and evenings, although they took Sunday evening, June 30th, off, which means that World of Radio was not heard that week at 0300 on 9330. They've been broadcasting a lot of WBCQ programming, rock music, and Alan Weiner worldwide playbacks, among others, but don't get too used to such entertainment on 9330, unless it's slipped again. July 8th, Monday, is the date for World's Last Chance Ministries, the Flat Earthers, to start programming 9330. After all, they've paid for this huge upgrade. We hope there will still be some WBCQ programming at part of the 24-hour period. From International Radio Report via Richard Langley, here's more info about World's Last Chance Ministries from an unexpected place, the Southwest Florida Blogspot, written by Don Brown. World's Last Chance, LLC, is a Wyoming corporation and religious ministry headed by Galal P. Doss, D-O-S-S, a former Seventh-day Adventist and wealthy cosmetics company owner from Egypt. Galal Doss has a track record of making bizarre prophecies, anti-Catholic videos, and claims the earth is flat, with proof in videos on their website. Alan Weiner was interviewed on Amateur Radio Roundtable July 3rd, normally hard to hear on 5130 WBCQ, but also webcast, and on this occasion it was indeed carried on 9330. Here are some of the tidbits I gleaned from that interview, according to Alan. The ERP at 9 megahertz is almost 20 megawatts. The Amagon antenna weighs 200 tons. It's precisely balanced and can be moved by hand rather than 2 3-horsepower motors, and it's very quiet when moving. It takes 2.5 minutes for the antenna to rotate 360 degrees. I was wondering, as Tom Medlin was, whether Timtron has hooked up his ham rig to the Amagon antenna. Not yet. But Tom would like to do that when he visits Monticello. The very large final tube cost $80 kilodollars, and another one for standby is on order. Alan says at his house down the road there is no RF overload problem from the huge transmitter at ground level. And he says they will have new QSL cards for the first time in 20 years, but he has hardly any spare time to send them. Please include SASEs. Richard Langley was monitoring 9395 from WRMI. Saturday, June 29th, there was Oldies at 2300 and at 2310 VOA News. But he says it was from June 9th or 10th, so it was really Olds. Bob Bierman explains, unfortunately, VOA decided to stop updating the news feed without any warning. With so many transmitters and feeds at WRMI, it's hard to notice when you're in the building. So perhaps we'll be not hearing any further VOA news relays unless they start updating them. On July 2nd, I noticed that WTWW number 1 stayed on its night frequency all day. 5830 was audible at 1932 UT instead of 9475. I hear that Ted Randall is in a wheelchair, so he may have mobility issues getting to and from and around inside the station, but should it not be remote controlled for frequency changes? Also, something different on 5085 WTWW2. On July 3rd, they were on the air at 0610 with a far-right talk show from Pete Santilli. I think it may be the same one they were carrying for a while last year. I'm not sure when it starts, but this appeared to be a playback as he was pausing for the top of the hour several minutes early. After missing a few weeks, WRNO has been heard again on 7505, but signing off around 0400 UT. No longer many hours more in Chinese. However, on July 4th, we were hearing a bit of Chinese before 0400. In my out-of-band scanning, such as for CNR1 jammers, I often run across two-way in Spanish. And I wonder how they picked this frequency. Heard on 11111.1 USB, June 28th at 12:27, or it could have been 11111.11, or even 11111.111. Many of these colloquial Spanish communications employ plenty of expletives. Here's one I heard June 28th at 14:09 on 13728 USB with an S8 signal from one of them. Plenty of puta madres, which politely translated would be whore son. This one also had some loud engine noise, making me wonder if it was from aboard an aircraft. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued July 1st. Geomagnetic field reaching isolated unsettled levels on July 10th and 11th, but A and K indices of only 8 and 3, otherwise entirely 5 and 2 through July 27th, while solar flux is 68 until July 12th, descending to 67, and back up to 68 as if it made any difference on July 20th. And that's World of Radio number 1989. Glenn Hauser hoping you found it informative and will make a point of hearing me again next week, starting and ending with a standard disclaimer.